it back to a more sort of Scottish thing. In the last sort of week or so, we've had the decision for the Lord Advocate to allow the trial for safe drug consumption rooms. Yep. Something that we have been pretty vocal about. We've had guys like Paul Sweeney, whose work on this, I mean, again, there's not a lot of things we necessarily agree with Paul. He's a great guy. I think he's very well-intentioned and comes from the right place, which we don't see for a lot of our politicians. Got a lot of respect from that regard. He is obviously a unionist, and we don't agree on that, but this is some, in terms of like the drug consumption things, that guys like him, Peter Crikin and whatnot, and other people, we've talked about harm reduction. And, you know, you go back through the back catalogue, especially if you're discovering this for the first time with some of the newer stuff that's out there, like, go back and you know, explore some of those things, because we've talked about them at length repeatedly. So to see that change come in, and then also get the confirmation that the UK government would not intervene, feels like a really big step forward for me.
Like, it can't be understated how big a step forward that is. I know that, I think, like, there was chat of, you know, the Scottish government under Humza wanting to decriminalise drugs, and the UK government have said that they wouldn't let that go.
The conversations get very hyperbolic.
So that's like, I think that gets people's, when you hear the news of like that gets people's expectations really like massive. And then, you know, you come back down to earth. But the trial for safe consumption is a huge step in the right direction for me. For not only for you know, swathes of communities and the addiction community, you know, and people that suffer for addiction. Like, I mean, currently, mate, I was in an NCP car park and seen a guy jacking up the other day, man, and you're just like, you know.
Yep.
If we go back to when we were young, I think if I was an adult back then, my attitude would have been a fucking scumbag. And
yeah,
well, fucking, there's Wayne's about here, and you're in town, and you're pretty much in a public place, you're just half of the street. I think generally the attitude towards it is that people, they need help. Like, the way that we've been dealing with chronic drug use, addiction, has just no worked, and we need a complete different direction, and this seems to be a good step in that direction. Step.
And I think it's important that we underline that, right, because a lot of fanfare has come off the back here for people who were in favour of these types of changes, and a lot of vitriol has came in the other direction.
Yep.
And take just one wee moment, we were approached recently on this by a sort of previous friend of the show. It didn't work out with personal stuff, so apologies that we didn't get back to yous, but at the same time, we're going to get into it here because it literally just happened, all right? and, you know, for me, it's a step. It's no silver bullet. It's no an end result. It's no the finishing point. It is the starting point. And like you say, having been an addict or being an addict, that humanization is something that is like vitally important to me. Like, it is the cornerstone of how I believe we resolve this issue. Mm-hmm. And it's by treating people like human beings, no treating them like statistics, no treating them like underclass. And these are things that as a society we have been guilty in the past. I know as well that I cringe when I hear other people use the term junkie now. I always personally use the term addict, and it's come from my own experiences with drugs and alcohol. And I think now about how I wanted to be treated and how and what saved me and what enabled me to save myself. And it was empathy. It was the care of other human beings around me. It was the understanding of other human beings around about me. And it's no a silver bullet. It's no a victory. It's, you know, we've no won the war. We've maybe like just won a battle. And hopefully it'll be the first of many battles that we win on this road that we're on to hopefully recognising the inert human dignity of people and making that the centre of our policy, the centre of our action when it comes to this type of thing. We have a lot of people that talk the talk, and now we have an opportunity to start walking the walk, and I think it starts here. Some of the criticism, not unfair, right? A lot of other addicts who are out there are very, you know, people who have worked the 12 steps and stuff like that, very determined about abstinence only. And if that's your perspective, cool. If it's worked for you, great. But having my experience with addiction, I wasn't always ready to get better.
Yeah.
As much as I might have wanted it, as much as I might have thought maybe I can try now, like, I wasn't always ready for it. I wasn't always ready to take that step. And had there been time and space for me to reduce the harm that I was doing to myself while I got ready, then I think that would have been a valuable resource.
Yeah.
And I think that's where these safe consumption rooms slot in to a wider picture.
Uh-huh. It's that shift, isn't it? Like, I was just looking there. I was listening to you, but I was just looking there. It's 2/3 of people that enter recovery fail.
Yep.
So we're looking at something. And
some of them fail repeatedly.
We're looking at something that doesn't work for the majority of people.
Yep.
People that are that have done the steps, that have been through that, like, you are almost a statistical anomaly in a sense, and you should look at yourself like that. Like, I am lucky and privileged that I managed to get through
and
the steps.
And take pride in it as
and
well.
And take pride in it, because it does take, you know, like, we're both addicts and it takes some amount of fucking grit and determination to get through it.
Oh.
Sometimes you're white knuckling it, do you know what I mean? And you need the support of other people. But it's the shift. I think this is the start of the shift for drug use away from criminal health.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a mental illness. Addiction is a mental illness.
Yep.
The actual addiction and the drug use in itself is a symptom of a wider problem.
Yep.
And we can, and I think that abstinence based, it works for a third of people, and it does work then. So
yeah.
It's proven to work, right? And it does work. But for the majority of people, it doesn't work. So we need to continue to evolve and to open our minds and to try different things. And giving somebody a clean needle, giving somebody a place to go that isn't a fucking high-rise car park to take their medicine. What is the medicine that they've found? Because that's the way that I view it, is that people are medicating themselves.
Yep.
They get the opportunity to come away out of an alleyway, out of a car park, away from a place where, you know, Glasgow City Centre. There's still people out there that would probably attack somebody if they seen them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We're giving people dignity. We're giving people safety. They're not going to be sharing needles. There's not going to be blood transmitted diseases.
Yep.
There's so many benefits for the people that are in the addiction, the people that are going to use this. But that's part of the sort of comeback for it is well, fuck them. They've chose this.
Yep.
And it's like, how many people, and I know this is a trope, but how many people do you see coming out of Newton Mearns and Bell's Den that end up a fucking heroin addict? Literally none.
Mm.
Like, this isn't fuck them. This is trauma. This is, like, historical. These people have been abused. They are now in horrific circumstances. They're putting themselves, I get it, they're putting themselves in dangerous situations. They're taking class A drugs. They're injecting on the street. They're ending up in crowds of people that, you know, they're going to end up with more abuse, more trauma.
Yep.
So we're trying to find ways to stop that, because one thing's for sure, they're going to take the drugs.
Until you can break the cycle, let's try and slow it down.
Exactly. Or, you know what I mean? Make it safe to be in.
Yeah.
Whatever addictive cycle that people end up finding themselves in, like, give people dignity and safety.
I don't think classifying it as writing people off to drug addiction is fair. I don't think, because I think that if you're in a safe, clean environment with educated professionals who can, if you choose, put you in touch with recovery services, who know who to contact and when, what types of support people might need. Like, the recovery room, and it might sound daft to say it, the recovery room is the gateway. The way that, you know, weed might be the gateway drug, like, maybe these recovery rooms are the gateway to recovery, because people go and are treated like an actual fucking human being and actually maybe think to themselves, well, what else can this place give me? What else can these people give me that will help me? How I feel respected, I feel treated like a person for the first time in maybe years, who knows? I mean, like, to then be like, oh, we're just geeing up. Well, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is actually, for me, picking a longer, harder road, because the end goal is to get people off of drugs.
Uh-huh.
We're not geeing up on them. What we're saying is, we are here for you no matter what.
Exactly.
Like, we will care for you, and we will provide for you as and when needed, for as long as is needed. And, sorry, Shep, what were you going to say, mate?
I was just going to say, it gives some people a chance to actually wake up that day and go down an abstinence route, or go down whatever route it takes. But, like, it's going to save lives. Like, that's also a big factor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
no harm eradication, it's harm it's reduction. Also
the amount of money it's going to save off the NHS is probably ridiculous.
Potentially, yeah. Like, this is what the trial teaches.
Exactly.
We don't want to prejudice it. We don't want to make any judgments. We've seen elements of what has went on in other countries, but these other countries are culturally and societally different from us, so we cannot make assumptions.
Like, it's colder
the
here.
Trial has to be scientific, and we cannot jump to conclusions before it even happens. So it might be that for this country it doesn't work, and it doesn't give us the benefits. We need to be prepared for that. Like, that is a reality that can happen, so we can't just jump out and be like, this is a win. Like, this is, like Paul says, a step in the right direction.
Aye.
And another one of the criticisms I've heard is, well, people aren't getting on a bus to like take drugs, and you're like, have you been in Glasgow City Centre?
Putting it in the city centre, right?
Go and take a lap around Central Station. I've, again, not going to mention my employer, but I know for a fact that right now, the First Minister of Scotland is at an event that 150 yards from the front door of that event, there is absolutely people in a neighbouring alleyway taking drugs and sleeping rough. Right? So that is the city centre right now. That is stone's throwing distance for Central Station. So it is, like, take a lap around Central Station. Day on a Saturday night, a Friday night, when the homeless charities are out feeding people, when the street teams are out,
yep.
Tell me that a safe consumption room in Glasgow City Centre will do zero good. Like, it's just not true.
Aye.
Like, if it helps one person, even if they don't ultimately get off it, if it saves their life, it saves them from disease, it saves them from spreading sickness around their friends and whatever else, it was worthwhile. Like, it's about reduction. It's about saying, you are worth this effort, and we believe that you are worth this effort. And that's where it is for me, because I say that dignity is something that is hugely important to me in my recovery, is that I actually recognised that I was a person, that I wasn't just this fucking thing that was just driven by just the constant fucking need for more, you know what I mean? Like, and other people will realise it. Like, it might not be the new, might not be in a year, but like, as this progresses and hopefully proves some of the things that we hope it will prove, we can then start to see it expand to the local communities where people are taking these drugs at home, and, you know, the other places, you know, parks and whatever else it happens to be. But this is just the trial. This is just the first step. And if we're going to say that we care about people's dignity, and we're going to say that we care about people's recovery, then we can't object to this, no matter what path to recovery you believe in. Because if the end goal is that people are cared for and helped, and ultimately they get better, then why would we be against that?
No.
Just because it doesn't follow your specific dogma, whether that be sort of religious, whether that be, you know, based on your own individual recovery, whether that be, you know, just, you know, the misconceptions that people have about addiction and stuff like that, or older thinking, you know what I mean, previous stereotypes and tropes that you're talking about, you know what I mean, like, would it be lose by trying it? You know what I mean? I don't think we lose anything.
We don't lose anything, really, you know?
I mean... Look, we're putting $1.8 billion into this barge. Like, I'm pretty sure that the funding for this is not even going to scrape the edges of that. Like,
and as you say, the potentials that are saved.
Exactly. So how could it can only be a positive.
Well, right? What better, like, if it does work as well, like, what better way to engage with people that are vulnerable, desperate, and in need of, like, care, whether it be, you know, They need a bed. They need, you know, psychotherapy. They need trauma therapy. They need, you know, whatever they might need. What better place where they're coming to you rather than you having to go up to somebody like, I mean, God love the people that do this.
Yeah.
I don't even, you know, I know you're a religious person, but God love people that do this. They approach people on the street and try and engage them in the support that's there for them. Yep. Look, do you know that this is available? These people are skeptical, hurting, traumatized, you know, they've probably never met a human being that's actually treated them with dignity, or some of them at least.
No, definitely.
And these people are having to go up to them in the street and try and engage them. But if you're like, look, we are offering a service and it's a service that they want and need and they're coming to you, then you can engage that person in a conversation and
because the inkling's already there.
How did you get here? And then be like, do you know that this is available to you and this charity's there that can maybe get you a therapist, or they can get you sorted with a flat or whatever it might be. There's so many services there that people just don't have a fucking clue exist, and you can engage them by going to these places.
These people don't have phones, or, you know what I mean, like the day-to-day stuff that you would need to take, like, you know, if you or I experienced an issue with homelessness, we would have resources available to us to instantly be like, right, what do I need today to resolve this? But again, how do you get that when you're sleeping, you know, between two bins in an alleyway?
Your whole,
you know what I mean,
like, your whole life is literally fight or flight. Full life is just, how do I get through this day? How do I get my medicine? And how do I wake up tomorrow morning? Because they take their life into their hands by walking the streets at night and or like whatever they're going.
I hope, so to be honest with you, that as well as this being like hopefully the first step in a wider conversation about how we address drugs and attitudes towards drugs and attitudes towards addicts, like, it needs to go even bigger. We need to be having a conversation about the wider elements that lead, because you said earlier on, and you were absolutely fucking right when you said it, that addiction is just the symptom of the trauma that somebody's experiencing elsewhere, right? Or you word to that effect. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at how people, particularly young people, are exposed to abuse through care, through family, through whatever it is. We need to look at poverty properly, because the stress that that puts on families, again, like when we spoke about ACEs and stuff like that, these are the issues that drive this behaviour. And if we can take a more empathetic and more humanistic approach to the sickness that people have as a result of these traumas, we need to extend it beyond that. And this is where I say this is hopefully the first step.
Aye.
That we can recognise people's inherent human dignity and put that at the centre of our approach to them. We need to go the whole way.
Yeah.
We need to go the whole hog,
uh-huh,
and actually start as a society to address these things that drive people
it's
to
like
these illnesses.
It's unconditional, isn't it? It's like, I was talking to, I had actually met Natalie from Cisco for the first time. She came into their another podcast. Now,
I seen that.
We did Natalie on Rebel City during the pandemic. I think it was during the first lockdown. Pretty sure we did it over Zoom, and actually a really good podcast, and did some really great numbers. And
it's
really
like one of our all-time best. Did thousands.
And talking, and Natalie was saying that, I think, as we're talking about, like,
they also do a great recovery cafe at Celtic Park for anybody who is thinking about how they engage with these types of services. Like,
100%.
Look up Cisco; they're a fucking phenomenal organisation.
But it's like that shift for, like, the punishment culture.
Aye.
To, like, this idea that we can have unconditional compassion for people. Like, instead of just judging people based on the person that presents with, say, like, a set of actions, like somebody who's shoplifting, like this week it's been record numbers of shoplifting. Yep. And how do we tackle this? Guess what? You stop people from fucking starving. These people on the people don't want to go in and steal for Tesco.
They were talking about it being organised gangs. You know, organised gangs are not going in and stealing fucking sliced
ham.
What
a load of fucking pish. It is people who are absolutely going in and stealing. Like, I think they were saying that one of the top five things that stolen's like nappies and another one's baby formula. Like, that is why people are fucking shoplifting. Aye. It's got nothing to do with, you know, the entitlement of these people and they just want a free ride and blah blah blah. Like, we're past it. It's bullshit. That's how, that's how they sell you and put them in the prison.
Aye.
Get them away from you. Like, see, like, we were talking earlier, like, about the barge. I forgot to say, like, I can remember sitting in rooms with adults as a child where they were like that, and excuse the sloth, right? Do you know what we need to do with these junkies? Stick them on a fucking island away from everybody, because that's all that they're... That's, just let them go and murder each other.
Aye.
I can remember actual adults in my life sitting there and...
Aye.
So that's the level of thinking that we've got at a government level, but that's the attitude that just needs to change more towards the idea of, like, how did you get here? Like, that's the humanist approach. It's gone, like, you're a human being, and I know that you're no bad in inception, so... How did you end up at this point? Because, one, we need to stop it from happening to future generations of people, but two, I'm pretty confident there's something that we can do about it for you, and yep. we can help you through that journey. It's not going to be easy. I think anybody that's been through a journey that involves addiction, that involves trauma, is never going to be like, I was a piece of piss and I sailed through it. No, it's going to be like the battle of a lifetime, but within the next decade...
And you'd be lucky if you only have to fight it once.
Exactly, but within a sort of 5 to 10 year period, you can completely change the narrative about who you are as a person,
yep.
what you're about, and where you're going with your life, because there's nothing that you can do about the road that's behind you. Like, all that you can do is learn from that.
Exactly.
But that's the thing that we don't dare to. It's like, we don't look at the road Aye. Previously trod and go,
if we could punish our way out of this situation,
we would live in a utopia.
We would have done it already.
We'd be in a utopia, wouldn't we? Like, exactly. Aye. We've done enough fucking punishing people, like, and that's exactly where... The people are talking about, like, where's the rehabs and where's this? They turned them onto prisons. They put them onto prison. That's how they decided.
And
to
we're not
them.
Saying stop rehab. We're saying do it. Like, this should not be the be all and end all. This should be one tool in an arsenal that is stacked to the rafters. Of, you know what I mean? That should be recovery beds. It should be the ability to engage with abstinence if that's what you choose. It should be that you can make use of services and look after yourself while you're going through it. Like, all of these things should be available. We should be doing all of them. It should not be either or. And when you can spend £2.8 billion on a fucking barge, you can write off £14 billion in tax fraud, as Sunak did uh-huh. this week. Like, we can do this. We can fund this. But the attitudes... I need to continue to change. And in our lifetime, we've went for kill the fucking lot of them to no, that's an actual human being that we need to show some actual care and attention to. And that is a gigantic leap forward in just our lifetime. Uh-huh. We need to keep on the road, and we need to keep having these conversations and actually, like, keep, you know, getting behind guys like Paul and that who are out there pushing.
100%. I mean? I think for me, there's a bit of a, like, there's a shock in my end to how naive to, like, how much change can actually happen and what should be celebrated and what should be, like, really spoke about and being like, this is a big change and we should take note of this
mm-hmm.
rather than being like, it's not enough. Do you know what I mean? And, like, even I'm guilty of that, being like, this isn't enough, we need to do more. But there's also, like, that, like you're saying, like, it's a step in the right direction, and if we just keep on focusing on, like, no, but we need to be doing more and that's not enough, it's like, you'll get no joy for it, rather than being like, right, great, what can we do next? Rather than, like, how do we get to this end goal? It's like, what's the next step Aye. On this journey for, you know, for us, I suppose, because we're part of that community of Definitely. People, you know what I mean? And it's no, I'm not sitting and being like, ah, oh, like, I'm an addict, or I was an addict, but, you know, I never stuck a needle in my arm. It's like, I just didn't end up in the set of circumstances that presented as an option to me,
yeah.
because any other option that was presented to me, I fucking took with both on, so
yep.
I'm no, you know, bigging myself think the up only enough time to be the like, only, I could never be like that.
I think the only drug I did take was putting a needle in my arm, you know what I mean? Like, I think I probably ticked off all the rest at one point or another, you know what I mean? Like, but again, I don't know that opportunity was ever... Had it immediately been in front of me, maybe I would have, I don't know. It's hard
exactly.
to tell.
Just the group of people that you ended up...
I had
up.
No control, so it's impossible for me to say in hindsight, you know what I mean? Like, I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I've done some shit. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
How do we want to try and wrap up? Will we go any other business, gents?
I'm happy with that, to be perfectly honest. I think we've done about an hour and 15, haven't we?
We've done pretty good at an hour and 20.
Aye, man. I don't have anything else, really.
No. Okay. So, guys, again, if you're engaging here, thank you so much. Like, all likes, shares, comments are greatly appreciated. We're going to cut up this into some smaller sections as we did the last time. Should we be in the coming days, and then every sort of 4 or 5 days after that until we're back in the studio. So, again, thank you so much for the way you engaged last week, and let's have Mary the same this week, please.
Thank you.
Beautiful. We managed to not call somebody batshit crazy after that YouTube comment.
Like, oh, did somebody... Aye, that...